Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. You know, one of the most important topics I would argue that we've been talking about on this show over the past couple of years is, in particular, one dog trainer, but other dog trainers who live here. One dog trainer who goes from city to city to city, who does things you would never want to do to dogs. And there are some dog trainers in the Chicago area who do that as well. We call it aversive dog training, negative-based dog training, all kinds of other names for it. Fia Jokola, Dr. Jokola, is here, the past president of the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior, a resident with the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. Dr. Jokola, you and I have talked about this topic before many, many times, yet people still somehow, there's a dog trainer using a shock collar routinely on puppies. And people still go to these trainers. So I suppose, what is the overriding message here?
I think we have to think of, as veterinarians, we think of pets as family members. And when we think about, and you know, a lot of us call our dogs our babies. And you're thinking about taking a young mind, and you're going to, you know, put a shock collar on that? It just doesn't make any sense about how we think about dogs in our world today. They are our family members, and wanting to do any kind of punishment or scare them. But some people are kind of desperate. They don't know what to do. Maybe their dog has a little bit of a problem, and they look to a professional, and they may see some advertisement or a sign or something on the internet, and it looks really promising, and they take that as a professional, and they might not even realize what that trainer might want to do to their dog. They just want their dog to get better. They want their dog to be a family member, and it's kind of what can go on behind the scenes that the general public just doesn't know about.
Well, the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior felt so strongly about this that there's now a position statement. And by the way, it's written for all of you. It's for pet parents on humane dog training. Why did the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior, which you are past president, say, you know what, this issue is so important. We're actually going to create a science-based, incidentally, position statement on this issue.
Yes, because we're kind of, again, fighting what's out there in the popular media and the way things were done many, many years ago and what we know now. Once we know better, we want to do better. But there's actually a lot of scientific research. So we're not getting out there with this position statement like this is just our opinion or we think we know everything. It's really going to the scientific literature, looking at research studies and things that really back up the best way for animals to learn. So it's very science-based, and as veterinarians, of course, that's who we are. We're scientists, and we want evidence-based, and there's a lot of rumors and just things that have been around for a long time, and, you know, it's you get into the kind of that popular wisdom, and we just think it's true because it seemed like it was true a decade ago, and what we know now as veterinarians in this new wide field of veterinary behavior, that there's a lot of science-based information that says the way we used to do things just isn't right. And so we really want to get this out there, not even just for the pet owners, also for dog trainers. And sometimes dog trainers have a hard time, the ones that really want to do it with positive reinforcement and reward-based things. Sometimes they get chastised like, you know, you're doing it wrong, and we just want to put the evidence out there that there's no doubt about the best way to help animals learn and to minimize fallout. And what dog training should be about is building a relationship with your dog, and it should also be about fun. It should be fun. And in old-time dog training, we used to think about, well, we're going to command our dog to do something, our little puppy, we're going to command it. We just have to think about, what are we doing when we command? Kind of implying a threat. It's kind of like you got to do it or else. That isn't very fun to learn like that. So we're about giving dogs opportunities and learning that they can make good choices and find reinforcement. And when we reinforce the behaviors we like, we get to see a lot of them. But it's not scary kind of training. It's fun. And that builds a relationship and the bond between a pet owner and the dog.
Well, you've said fun like 21 times here, so that's clearly important. You know, is it also about building a bond from one end of the leash and a matter of communication? Because after all, we're talking about two different species. If we're talking about puppy classes, we're talking about little babies, essentially. So building communication between one end of the leash to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And when certain techniques are used, aversive techniques or negative techniques or punishment-based techniques, there's that communication breakdown. The puppies often just say, I'm just going to build a little wall here because I don't want to be hurt.
Right. And then sometimes because they're trying to do avoidance, then they might get labeled as they're stubborn or, you know, they're disobedient. And what that kind of aversive training can do is it creates a lot of anxiety. And it creates fear.
So
and
we're
that
actually
leads to behavior problems.
Yeah, exactly. So that you're going exactly where I was going to ask you. You're ahead of me. So I was going to say that when trainers do these sorts of things, do they actually cause problems?
Yeah, sadly, it does cause problems. And you know what I do, seeing cases that involve dogs that have anxiety, fear, and aggression. I'm seeing kind of the worst of the worst, you know, because I'm not just doing obedience training or just training puppies, although I definitely, you know, want to advise people on how to do that correctly. But I do, when I look at my patient load and I take very thorough histories and I find out, yes, so many of my patients, I mean, the vast majority of my patients have had trained by shocking them or trained by doing some kind of painful collar on them that even can damage the structures in the neck. These are the dogs that are coming to me with these really serious behavior problems, and they've been through this aversive training. And yes, I hear those stories that a little puppy in puppy class is put on a painful collar that has prongs in it. You know, and again, it's your baby, it's your family member. Would you do that to a small child? Doesn't make any sense. And so when they get treated that way as young dogs, We increase that anxiety and fear. It's certainly not fun. Then we're going to start to see behavior problems, and we can actually create aggression just by using those kinds of painful, aversive, and threatening methods. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They might think aggression is, oh, that's just a mean, nasty dog. That's a bad dog. Or maybe that owner's a bad owner because their dog is mean. And really what aggression is about fear. The dog is afraid. And that's why they use aggression. So training with methods that cause fear, we're going to increase the risk of aggression. Increase the risk of aggression, and people start to get bit. And what happens? The dog might lose its home. The dog might lose its life. So there's very serious repercussions when these kind of punishment and painful methods are used.
But Dr. Jokola, you have to show that you're dominant over the dogs, right? Before we talk about that, and we will, and also before we talk about you talked about what not to do, let's talk about what to look for in a dog trainer. We'll do all of that when we come back with Dr. Fila Jokola on WGN. Dr. Fila Jokola is a resident in the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists and also past president of the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior. And there's a new position statement out on humane dog training. And before the break, I said the notion is there are so many people, Dr. Jokola, who really do feel I've got to show my dog that I'm the boss. I must be dominant over you. I'm dramatizing it a little bit. But even in the back of our minds, for those who say, oh, okay, that's not necessary. But I would argue even the back of their minds, but I'm the person, you're the dog, and you're going to do what I say when I want you to say it. So you tell me what the correct approach should be.
Yeah, we don't, as far as a relationship between dogs and humans, really the last thing on a dog's mind is to try to get dominance over their human. What dogs are always thinking is, am I safe or am I not safe? They're not thinking, I want to get out the door ahead of you or I need to eat before you eat. They're thinking about their own safety. And when a dog feels safe, you're going to have great social interaction. You're going to have a dog that wants to play and a dog that can learn easily. And, yes, you're going to have joy and fun. When a dog doesn't feel safe, then we might see some aggression. We might see even things like resource guarding. Usually comes from a dog feeling insecure, and they're looking for some way to help them feel safer. And so one way dogs feel safer is maintaining resources. As humans, we do the same thing. We guard our homes and we put our money in the bank. We don't let, you know, strangers take that away from us. So when you don't feel safe and you're worried about your survival, some of these behaviors can pop out. And those are the behaviors we don't want to see. So we want to make sure the dog knows it's safe. We don't need to push the dog around and roll them on their back or frighten them, because all dogs want to do is they want to feel safe. When they feel safe, that's when you're going to get those beautiful bonds growing between dog and person. That's what we're looking for. They're not thinking about dominance. They just want to be safe and they want to be happy. They want companionship. The last thing on their mind is they want to be dominant over us. And humans are always dominant because we control the refrigerator door. They can't get their food unless we say so. They can't go to the bathroom unless we say so. They really are always kind of allowing us to be dominant. They're not worried about that. They look to us for guidance, and that's what we want. We want to be like a parent more, a guardian, that we're going to help that dog feel safe. We don't need to show them we're the boss.
Now, this position statement in no way hints that you should not go for a dog training class. In fact, the position statement implies otherwise, that dog training is a good thing. It's just a matter of choosing the right dog trainer. At what point do you begin training a puppy?
Well, you can begin training a puppy really, really early. There's, you know, as soon as you get your puppy, you can start doing basic training, but you do want to kind of know how to do that. And so it's important to do a little bit of homework. And when you're looking for a trainer, you want to find somebody that has a certification. And the thing about certifications in the dog training world, there can be some really excellent ones that we should pay attention to. And there can be some that, oh, we got a certification, but whoa, certified to do what?
Yeah, really.
So we want to make sure that the person that is certified, that they're expressing through actually going to observe them or on their website or any training materials, that they're saying that they are reward-based. We don't want to hear words like balance that says, well, sometimes I'll punish your dog and sometimes I won't, which is going to leave the dog in a quandary, not knowing are people trustworthy or not. Sometimes they're punishing me, sometimes they're not. I don't know. My gosh. So we don't want balance. We don't want people that use the word dominance. We want to see that they're 100% reward-based and that they have some kind of certification, and ideally a certification where to get that certification, you have to in some way pledge or promise that you are not going to use punishment methods. So you got to do your homework and look into that. And so we want to start puppies early. We want to start with just learning about the world early. But we want to get the guidance on how to do that properly from a reward-based trainer. And we want our puppies really starting into puppy class. We want them in there. If they've been through their first vaccine and we're a week beyond that, that's if we're in a well-run puppy class where there's people taking good care of the disinfection of the air, we can have puppies start learning very, very young. Waiting till they're, 4 or 5 months old, it's really too late. There's so much they want to learn, they need to learn, when they're little babies. So dog training should start early, but you want to do your homework and make sure you're getting a positive reinforcement-based trainer who's going to use rewards and not punishment.
Yeah, one of those organizations that you can depend on, because this is their value, is the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. And just go to iaabc.org and then look in your, just type in your zip code. It has one of those directories and you'll find folks near you, as just one example. But you don't have to be necessarily a member of that organization to do things the right way. Why is this, we talked about why it's so important. Why was AVSAB so moved? Because you have position statements on lots of different things. And by the way, you can get those position statements. We'll tell you where in a moment, what the website is. They're all free. They're all science-based with citations, but yet written for the general public. Why did you find a need to do this one right now?
Oh, well, there's just this overwhelming switch to punishment training, and we see it in where it's really getting out of hand is where it gets into TV shows and things on the internet, and there's all this stuff coming out, and we really need to get out there and stop, because again, the advertising and the marketing of those punishment-based things is so slick, and it really looks like, wow, I really, you know, people that really love their dogs are the ones that end up kind of victimized by the punishment-based trainers that want to use force and painful techniques, and the people don't know. So there's just all this stuff that just gets promoted, and it really gets promoted on TV because, you know, when you're on TV and you kind of make it kind of wild and crazy and we're like in a war, I mean, that's what we want violence. That's what TVs get advertising money for. So they're showing this all wrong because it makes great drama, but it doesn't make good dog training, and we have to get out there and let people know this is not the path we want to follow, and realize that most people that are doing those kinds of programs or holding seminars in our communities, they don't have any kind of educational background. They absolutely don't. And if you don't know how an animal learns, you don't know how to train, well, one thing you can do is you can use something like a shock collar. It doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge to hit a button and cause the dog pain, and it stops its behavior. It falls down and stops, but you're creating a ticking time bomb in that dog. That dog's losing trust. And so we just feel because there's so much of this getting out there on just in the media, we have to take a stance and be that voice of reason to say, no, it doesn't have to be done that way.
Okay, so for this free, and it is free, position statement on humane dog training, the website is avsabonline.org, and other position statements available too. Dr. Fila Jokola, it is always good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
So imagine you have two dogs, let's say, and they're minding their own business in your backyard, not barking or anything. They're just kind of like hanging out. And then they go to the fence because a person actually kind of encourages them to go to the fence, a person on the other side of the fence, on the sidewalk. Now, also imagine this fence is not being one of those fences you could see through easily, not a chain link fence, but a big wooden fence and a very tall one, like 6 or 7 feet high. Yet, there's slats between the boards of the fence. And between the slats, the person walking down the street sprays pepper spray at your dogs. That's what happened. And unfortunately for the perpetrator, there are cameras everywhere these days, right? So they figured out who did it. And this person, whose name I won't say, though I could, because she has been charged with animal cruelty, amazingly is a dog owner herself, and maybe she shouldn't be. Maybe this says something about her. But who does that? And this has been a trend. I mean, this thing, I hate to even say it on the radio because I don't want it to happen more often, but I want you to encourage family members, at least someone, to be out with the dogs so it is less likely to occur. Yeah, that's right. People are walking down the street with pepper spray. The dogs not even barking at people, minding their own, and they're spraying pepper spray at dogs. This is incredible that this really is happening. But the good news is they caught this person. Hopefully this person will become an example, and an example of if we prosecute, maybe people will be held more responsible and won't be committing crimes over and over and over. I hope not anyway. The first court date is coming up for this person. Coming up on the show next week, we talk about changes in our routines, changes in our schedules, and how that may impact our pets. Veterinary behaviors, Dr. Chris Pockel will be here. And also, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11 that's coming up, and we'll talk about the search and rescue dogs. And I'll reminisce a little bit about what I did right here on WGN Radio, the first in the nation to do it. That's all coming up next week on Steve Dale's Pet World, bright and early on WGN.